it's time to talk about a book out that an author's put together for the history of the Underground Railroad in Ohio. And it's interesting to think of what we perceive to be about the Underground Railroad. We know, because we're sort of in an area here in Lorain County with Oberlin and so forth, that maybe we have some information. But Kathy Schultz is here, a retired college librarian, to give us good information. Hi, Kathy. Good morning. How are you today?
Well, good morning, and thank you for that nice introduction. Thank you.
It says here that you lived two major Underground Railroad junctions. Where would that be?
Well, I was born and raised in Columbiana County, which is over on the Pennsylvania line, and I was just south of Youngstown, and that Columbiana County was settled by Quakers. There was a strong place over there with an abolitionist newspaper back in the day. And then later I was in Springfield, Ohio, where I worked at Wittenberg University.
And when did you become, I guess, interested or thought, you know, we all sort of hear the stories of the Underground Railroad. When did you think, well, maybe the truth and the lore don't always line up? Talk about
that. You know, you're absolutely right. Yes, the truth and the lore do not always add up. And to be interested in the Underground Railroad, I think I was interested in it as a kid. I was always interested. A few years ago, I decided to do a little more research. It was partly related to my family history. I was trying to figure out if I had anyone that might have participated, and I realized that I didn't really know many facts about the Underground Railroad. I knew myths, I knew folklore, and so I did a lot of research on the Underground Railroad itself.
Let's talk a little bit about that, maybe sort of just for basic information, explain what the Underground Railroad was or what it was not, I guess.
Oh, okay. Well, so many Americans have misperceptions that the Underground Railroad was in the South, in the slave states, and it was not. It was in the free states, and it was simply a system to help freedom seekers get to absolute freedom in Canada, to move them along, you know, station by station, home by home. But it was something that was in the northern states, and enslaved people, say many Kentuckians, many enslaved Kentuckians came to Ohio on the Underground Railroad. They had to reach Ohio and get across the Ohio River pretty much on their own. But once they were in Ohio, there was a system of assistance for them.
How do we know what we know, considering so much of this is sort of, you know, quiet? The whole idea was not to be you know, found out. So how do we know what information have we got for this?
Absolutely great question. But luckily for us, there was a professor at Ohio State named Wilbur Siebert back in the 1890s, and he began a study of the Underground Railroad. He contacted a lot of people. There were still people alive who could give him information at that time. But he kept on with that study of the Underground Railroad until his death in 1960. So he is one of the key people. He's not perfect. He's not the only person, of course, who's done research, but his material helps a lot. And it's at the Ohio Historical Center, and it's all scanned and digitized, and anyone can access. It's a wonderful resource.
The book is called The Underground Railroad in Ohio. Kathy Schultz joins us this morning to talk about that. When I think of the Underground Railroad, I always think of sort of houses that maybe have hidden areas or something. Like, I mean, that's the fascinating thing, especially you talk about being interested as a kid. You hear something like that, you think, that's kind of neat. How does this work? But that may be just a small portion of what we hear about it, right?
You know, you're right. A few houses did have special areas, like a private room in the basement that you could only reach through a trap door from the first floor or something like that. But many, many, many homes on the Underground Railroad were just regular old houses, and the freedom seekers lived with the folks there. And we should point out that many of the people who were assisting on the Underground Railroad were African American themselves. So you had black people living with black people and also with white people, but there was an awful lot of hiding in plain sight in the Underground Railroad. Even the use of public transportation like trains. If you dressed properly and you carried yourself like you were a free black, you could just blend into society a little bit.
What was the era that this is really taking place? How long does it span?
Oh, golly. Well, I think it starts on a small scale way back around 1800, really as long as Ohio's been a state. Enslaved people have always wanted to get away. But it picked up a great deal in the 1830s and then carried on up, of course, to when the Civil War started in 1861 and even continued during the Civil War until the 1863 emancipation.
What did you find out as far as maybe stories? Because sometimes if you put a face or a person or maybe just a, you know, incident into this, tell me some of those that you found out through your research that you have in the book here.
Okay, I tell the story of Addison White in Champaign County, Ohio, and that was near where I lived in Springfield. He was a fascinating character. He was living with a man there who said, well, you can stay just a couple days and then we'll move you on north. But the white fellow hurt his leg very badly. And after that, the freedom seeker, Addison White, said, no, I'm not going to leave. You need help. Who's going to pick your corn? Who's going to do all that? And he stayed and lived with that white family. And in the end, the town protected him against the federal marshals. Eventually came. The town formed a mob carrying pitchforks to chase them away. It's a really remarkable story, and it's the first chapter of my book.
How did the links for this Underground Railroad work? How did other people know that this was, in other words, how did they get the handoff, if you were, you know, how does that all come together?
Yeah, I know. I think it was kind of organic, and people, maybe that word is overused, but people knew the other operatives right in their area. They knew, you know, Joe Schmo in the next town up, that will take this freedom seeker and I'll take him there. But they didn't know, they didn't have a good concept of the entire route, because in any clandestine effort, it really doesn't help for everyone to know everything. You know, they only knew what they needed to know. They knew the people in their immediate communities.
Were people
sometimes that was church-based, sometimes not. Doesn't matter.
Were people doing this out of the goodness of their heart, or did somebody see an opportunity, a financial opportunity at some point? Was there so many of that involved in any of this? Do you know?
Boy, geez, I don't know that they were making money. In fact, there was a lot of fundraising going on because it costs money to feed people, to clothe people, for transportation in some cases. I don't want to think
all
that...
Right. Well, I just wonder, because sometimes there's always somebody, they're always looking for an angle of something no matter what, and it might have a benefit out of it. But where did the name, I guess, Underground Railroad come from? Who coined that, or how did that get attached to this sort of thing?
Yeah, there's a couple explanations for that, but the most probable one happened in Ripley, Ohio, which is a fascinating town down on the Ohio River that had a lot of Underground Railroad traffic through it. But a freedom seeker, an enslaved person, swam across the river, and his owner went after him. He found a boat, but it took him a while. So he figured, oh, I'll find that guy in Ripley. He'll be all wet. He'll be there. I can find this wet black man, and he never did. And he made the statement that, oh, it's like he went off on some underground road. And the newspapers picked it up. And at the time, railroads were the new thing. It's like the latest iPhone for us. People were fascinated with railroads and the lingo of railroads. And so eventually it kind of got switched to Underground Railroad.
When you're doing this research, how do you kind of end the book? In other words, where do you find the ending of it? How does it come to an end, in other words?
You ask very, very good questions. You're a good interviewer. My last chapter is on the legacy in Ohio from the Underground Railroad and the kinds of people who came to Ohio because of the Underground Railroad because of the anti-slavery movement in general, and some of the famous people of Ohio that have links. Their ancestors were involved in the Underground Railroad, and we may not realize that. So I address that in the book.
I know Ohio is sort of proud in a sense. In other words, they try to show that it exists here. And I guess you mentioned how it's trying to get to Canada. You go to Ohio, that's kind of your closest border to Canada, right, coming out of the South?
Right. And many, many slaves came out of Kentucky because they were threatened by the cotton fields of the, you know, bordering the Mississippi River, the whole business of selling someone down the river. That's where the phrase comes from. So many Kentuckians wanted to... get out of their enslaved status. So yes, Ohio was the obvious place to come. Ohio had probably as much traffic as all the other states put together.
Wow. Kathy Schultz, our guest this morning, retired college librarian, now an author. Now, is this your first book, or have you been doing this book thing for a while now?
I wrote a small book. It was really about family history, and I only really gave it to my family. I wrote a book, and it's on Amazon, but it was really meant for family. So I can claim this is my second book, but it's my first major book. Let's just say that.
Right. Now, are you going on speaking tours or anything like that? Are you taking these on the road?
Believe it or not, I'm leaving today. I live in Santa Fe, New Mexico, and it's early for me, but I've had my coffee, so I can talk with you. But as soon as we're done, I'm getting in the car, and I'm heading east toward Ohio.
Wow, that's great. Well, we appreciate you focusing on this, coming up with the book, and kind of different perspective. People have a chance to take a look at this. And again, it's The Underground Railroad in Ohio. If people want to get it, I guess it's like any book, mostly anywhere, right?
Sure. Yep. And I'll be at the Mind Fair Books in Oberlin on January 28th, I guess it is. But you can buy the book, on the usual way.
Well, on the road trip, you got 17 days to get here, so you'll be doing okay.
Right.
So take your time. Enjoy your trips on the way.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Thanks very much for your time this morning, Kathy. Appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Kathy Schultz joining us this morning. The Underground Railroad in Ohio is their book. It's Arcadia Publishing is where you can go to that site as well, too. And they got a little look inside, as they call it, where you can see some of the chapters and get a feel for that particular book. It's always interesting, Arcadia Publishing, of the different topics that they cover, and a lot of times featuring different things in different states and people getting a passion for writing about that. Again, it's called The Underground Railroad in Ohio.